Welcome to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. My name is Mia Delamar, and today on the couch we have Dr. Alicia Johnson, who is running for Public Service Commission here in Georgia. So, Dr. Johnson, introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? We'd love to get to know you.
Well, first of all, Mia, thank you for having me. Thank you for having this very critical and important conversation. As you said, my name is Alicia Johnson. I am a native Savannian. Born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, the city by the sea, and my favorite place to be in Georgia, and really want our working families and voters to know that I have been a longtime advocate working in this intersection of people and policy. Really feel that we need to take our advocacy to the next level, that we can't afford to just sit back or sign a petition or write a letter anymore, that we're at this critical juncture for working families. Mm-hmm. And so wanted to, again, step up to the front line. So,
absolutely. So you're a native Savannian. I'll have to ask you, what is your favorite restaurant in Savannah?
So
let's see if we land on the same one, or one of the same ones.
So I really love seafood. Mm. But I also love soul food. Mm. When I think about that, I'm going to go with that's a total Savannah restaurant, which is the Pink House.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite places to go. But we have a lot of really, really great restaurants, including The Gray, who has an African-American chef,
yeah.
And who's James Beard.
Award-winning.
So we have a lot of great places to eat there.
Yeah, I'm a huge foodie, so I think mm-hmm. One of my favorite breakfast spots in Savannah, which is now everywhere, pretty much in the Atlanta area now, was Maple Street Biscuit Company. That was the first time we had discovered that. It was in Savannah. I don't know what we were doing. I guess we were looking for breakfast. We were like, Maple Street. So we had a nice, we liked the little, there's like a biscuit that has like apple something on it, but it's good. Like apple jam or whatever. And then there was also this breakfast place. It's now closed, which it really hurt my heart. It was called Tubby's, and it was on the second level on like River Street.
So Tubby's was a well-known seafood joint.
Yeah.
But River Street has great brunch spots, good breakfast spots. Huey's is another.
Yes, Huey's. Yes.
So you should definitely.
Yeah, we'll try that out.
Yeah, you got to try out Huey's.
Yeah, and then obviously the Savannah Bee Company, we get their the honey. We love.
Oh yeah, my favorite.
Honey.
That's where
honey.
I buy all my honey.
Absolutely. So what do you like to do for fun? Do you have any guilty pleasures?
Besides shopping and eating, right? I love a great book, love history, and surprisingly tend to do a lot of research and in my spare time.
So what's your latest read or your most impactful read lately?
I am reading the story of the Black people who built America.
Oh.
It's about a kind of a general contracting architecture family who actually helped build several HBCUs and all that. And they're in fifth generation, passed the business down, fifth generation here. So
that sounds like an incredible book. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of work supporting families, getting stronger with their financial health. Can you explain what it means for a family to see their light bill double, like people have been talking about online, and what does that do to the overall budget in a household?
Yeah. So 42% of Georgia's population are working families. And they're also asset poor, or they live in asset poverty, right? And that just means that they're the working poor. They may not own their own home. They don't have things like life insurance, 401k, money to invest in the stock market, things that can help jumpstart their economic mobility.
Yeah.
When we go deeper into Georgia and look in rural communities, that jumps up to 52%, 62%, depending on where you are. And then when we go into urban areas or cities that have crisscross urban census tracts or federal opportunity zones like the ones here in Atlanta or in Savannah in my community, childhood poverty jumps up to 80%, asset poverty 70%. That means people are choosing between food and their electric bill. They're choosing between medicine and their power bill, right? Black and brown people are disproportionately impacted by cutoffs that lead to all kinds of health problems and social issues impacting kids in school. Power bills in Georgia are really impacting everyday life. People, all of us, whether you're running for the Public Service Commission like I am or not, should be on the front line engaged in this conversation, and they should be engaged with the Public Service Commission, who is appointed to serve them. But our current Public Service Commission sees themselves as an extension of the utilities that they've been charged to regulate. And what I want people to understand is that maybe you don't understand all the policy around it. Quite frankly, this is the first time I've run for office, and I'm not a big proponent of politics, right? But I recognize that politics are attached to policy, and policy is directly attached to our pocketbooks.
Right.
And so good policy isn't red or blue. Good policy is people-centered. And this commission has voted to raise rates on these working families, working families like mine, like yours. I have parents who are aging in place, who are seniors, who are on fixed incomes. They voted to raise those rates six times. Six times they have cited with the utility companies. They've not used their regulatory authority to make any decisions in the best interests of Georgia's working families or Georgia's everyday families. And that's problematic. We are at a very critical point, particularly post HR 1, where our entire social safety net is shrinking. People losing their livelihoods over energy seems ludicrous in this moment, that our families are rent burden, energy burden, and they're energy poor. They also, all of these working families are living in neighborhoods where they may lack broadband or they're environmentally impacted, they're breathing the dirtiest air, suffering the most. And those high power bills can be seen, you know, we're in storm season. And the last storm season, my parents went over a week, two seniors, without power.
Wow.
So I want people to make the connection of how this local state body touches their everyday life.
Yeah. Absolutely, especially your family lives in Savannah, correct?
So
the flood of having just water and an onslaught of extra rain.
I happened in the last storm cycle. I happened to be the only house in my family that had electricity.
Wow.
So everybody had to come over to my house. You know, we had to supply the food, the showers, you know, let people charge phones, do all the things. And that included my aunt, who's also a senior, who just retired back to Georgia. She lives in a rural community on a large acreage, but that acreage is also impacted by wells because she uses well water.
Yep.
She's a part of a co-op, and was without power.
Wow.
And no water, because the electricity controls her wells.
Wow.
And so, you know, she had to come to my house just to take a shower, just to, and, you know, afraid to leave her home because, you know, the no alarm system in place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are real things and real, in real time that real people are
going
doing.
Through.
Yeah.
And thank God, like, she had the community to be able to reach on through you to be able to
but
get the resources.
But there were people who did not.
Yeah.
There were people who did not.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been getting questions about this online. Why should someone believe that you aren't just going to be bought by Georgia Power like the last commissioner?
So I want to say that I've committed not to take money from the utilities. I want the utilities to take the profits that they're making. Our current utility infrastructure, tax breaks, all of the votes from this Public Service Commission gives them about between an 11 and 12% return. I don't know of anyone, myself, you, or any of your viewers who are watching this conversation who have a 12% return on any investment. I don't care how great you are at the stock market. That just doesn't happen, right? And so I believe those profits should not be going back to shareholders who don't live, work, or play in Georgia, but some of those profits should be reinvested back into the community where they're extracting the most. And so we should be demanding that our utilities have impact fees, that there's community benefit agreements, and that those community benefit agreements extend and expand even to our economic development authorities, that there's requirements for businesses who want to build here, that you invest here, and that you invest in our microgrid, that you that they're required to use battery storage and to solar their rooftops. Things that our PSC should be doing, they've not even took the time to ask the question or to move that needle. And so I think that the incumbent, the person that I'm running against, has had over $600,000 invested in their campaign just to run against little old me, which I'm like really surprised by that. But it says how much utility companies want the status quo, how they want business as usual. And they're afraid that when I get that seat, and Mr. Hubbard gets the other, that there's going to be a demand on them that says, take this money and reinvest it back into our communities and build some clean energy infrastructure.
Awesome. So when did you first learn about the PSC, and what was your introduction to it?
So actually, behind the scenes, again, I've shared that I've done a lot of advocacy work and support in Georgia for underserved communities, working families. So the PSC is not new to me in that I've helped write messaging for folks who have gone to testify, provided local delegates in my community talking points and things that they should know before they go, or ways in which they should be advocating for the people in our community. So the actual work of the PSC is not new to me, just this run.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've traveled around the state of Georgia organizing for Rose v. Raffensperger, the case. What did you learn about Georgians in this case, and then were you surprised by anything?
Again, I am a Georgia girl, 52 years, born and raised in Georgia, and have been doing this work in various ways in interacting with working families all across Georgia. Just a few years ago, before doing the work that I'm doing now, I was the director of Medicaid member services for the largest managed care company here in Georgia and worked with them for over 12 or more years. And my job was to help build programming and services for over 600,000 Medicaid lives in Georgia. So I'm intimately involved and understand what our families are going through, both in rural and in urban areas. Know about all 159 counties of our state, and I care.
Yeah, absolutely.
I care about them having what I call AIO, and that's access, influence, and opportunity. That they have access to what they need, bridging capital off the social safety net and onto the economy. That they can influence the choices that people are making over them or around them and for them and about them. And then most importantly, that there's opportunity.
Yeah.
And opportunity is about choices and freedoms, which our current Public Service Commission has not given to our families.
Yeah.
They've been caged in economically by this Public Service Commission.
Okay. So speaking on just the current commission, when did you decide that you were running and what went into that decision?
Oh, a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer, a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
I, you know, had conversations with colleagues, people I've worked with. I talked to our mayor. I talked to Senator Mallow, who's from Savannah. Spoke with my pastor, my parents, and you know, my parents are at the age where, you know, they don't want their, they still don't want their baby be hurt or maligned in any way. And so the current political environment caused great pause.
Yeah.
But felt like, you know, in this moment, in this time in history, where I am a huge believer in leadership legacy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be on the right side of history.
Right.
And just give people the opportunity to have a choice that they can make for themselves around this, and that they could be engaged differently and just spend the time educating people about regulatory bodies that are making decisions that impact their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I made the decision in late March of this year, and have been committed to having these critical conversations. This is the only statewide election in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's a special election. People don't really know about it. It's unheard of. So now you have unheard people running in an unheard election about a body that, you know, to sit on a body, a regulatory body that people know little about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the easiest campaign to run. And it's certainly not the easiest place to be in. But it is important. I think that it's important for people to, again, have that choice and have some AIO in the game, some social capital. And so that's why I'm here.
And so just speaking of the importance of what it's like running for the people, even running as a Black woman.
So I would be the first Black woman ever on the Public Service Commission.
Wow.
Right? So, although that's, you know, historical fanfare, I think what people should know is that there's an all-Republican Public Service Commission. And yes, it would be great to have a Black woman seated there. But most importantly, they should understand that this current Public Service Commission has, who are not Georgia Power customers, the majority of them are not Georgia Power customers, have literally voted against their interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an opportunity for them to have someone in the seat who will actually do what the Public Service Commission is charged to do and to advocate for people and regulate the utilities, not give them carte blanche.
Hello. So do you have a message for Atlanta or North Georgia communities that you may not, that you may, that may not know you on your record in Savannah?
Yeah, so I will say that you can, I'm Googleable, so you can Google me. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on social media, but what you will see is a track record of advocacy, yeah. A track record for standing up for people and working families. And this is their opportunity to have an advocate, have a win, yeah. And have their voice heard on this body. I intend for this seat to be something that it has never been in the history of our Public Service Commission, which is transparent, accountable, and devoted to centering people in its decision making. And so that looks like, for me, making sure that decisions are digestible, that people know about them ahead of time, that there's a report card published on our utilities, that meetings are held where people can access them. We don't have a lot of transportation access in Georgia.
Yeah.
So making sure that people have virtual access to the Public Service Commission. I want to have an advisory board that helps me make decisions collective impact. And that will be the first time something like that has ever happened. So they get the opportunity to speak to me and to make sure that I'm representing the best interest of the ratepayers in Georgia.
Absolutely. So can you brag on Savannah a little bit? What do you love about the people of Savannah? Is it the best city in Georgia?
Absolutely, right? So it's the first city in Georgia, full of history, full of character, and full of seafood. I grew up as a Lowcountry girl there. We have lots of culture. There's Gullah Geechee culture in Savannah. There's indigenous people have a place in our history. A lot of change and change makers have occurred and have been initiated in Savannah. And so one of our great senators, that's his hometown as well. So there's a lot to be said about Savannah and about the people in Savannah who are important, yeah. And who are important to me. And I want to make sure that that Savannah is represented, but that all working families across Georgia come to the table.
So what do you want your impact to be? What do you want your legacy to be as a woman, as a human, as a candidate, as an elected when it happens for you? What would you like to leave behind?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And one that I've thought about over my lifetime of service. I have a son, a daughter, a grandson. And I consider myself a devoted wife, mother, all the things. I'm very involved in my community and giving back. And I want my grandson to, and my son and my daughter to see that I was willing to stand up for them and that they could count on me. And that I'm leaving behind a leadership legacy that says, you know, one voice is valuable, one voice can make a difference, and that I'm willing to show up on the front lines of everyday life and do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I believe that we can do hard things, that we're built to do hard things, that I have an ancestry in my DNA, mm-hmm. that has outlived their ability to do hard things and to be successful at those things, outlived all of the trauma and tragedy. And so I want my kids and my grandchildren to know that when it's their time, when I pass that baton back to my mentees, to my children, to my grandson, that, hey, you can do hard things because mama did hard things.
Yes, you can do hard things. I love that. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the couch. It has certainly been a pleasure to have you here. Make sure you guys get out to vote. And thank you so much, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you for having me.